So I want to start with you, Mr. Bright. Tell us a little bit about the Newark YMCA's program, this Evening Reporting Center program. How did it all get started? And what is the Newark YMCA's role?
The program basically says there's kids between ages 13 and 17 that have been adjudicated. Somehow they were in front of a judge for something. And it was basically, you know, the YMCA or juvie hall or prison or whatever the case may be. And most of them choose the Y. It's a great option. And that's how the program became a reality. Was we took a chance on going after it, and the Hudson County folks saw the benefit in bringing the kids over here to a safe place, a safe environment to go over some life skills and try to get them on the straight and narrow.
Chanel, you run this program. Tell me a little bit about how it works on the daily basis.
We transport youth from all over Hudson County, from Bayonne all the way throughout West New York. Most of our youth come from Jersey City. However, we have two vehicles that go out to transport to pick them up. After transportation, we bring them back to the YMCA, where we provide them with life skills. We provide them with an evening meal and snack. And then they are allowed to utilize the recreational facilities we have, like the basketball gym, like the weight room, like the pool, and participate in those activities as well.
What are some of the issues that they face, and what are some of your concerns, and how you deal with the issues that they may be facing outside the program?
Each group is unique and different. Right now, our youth are dealing with a lot of gang intimidation, gang involvement. Many of them have issues with educational barriers. Sometimes if you've had issues in school from the 9th grade or the 7th grade, by the time they're in 11th grade, they're being told to go to an alternative program. Another issue is some of my youth in our program have been shot and killed. So the gang violence in the community is very active. The conflict that they deal with is a problem. They deal with a lot of issues surrounding poverty and violence and a trauma.
So how do you go about addressing those issues? And Michael, you can jump in here too. How do you guys kind of insert yourself into their lives in a way that really changes that for them? Because programs like these can be the difference between life and death.
Chanel and her team do a great job. As you can imagine, the first day or the first encounter, there's a lot of defense and barriers put up with the kids. Our staff meet them where they are. They begin to build trust immediately. I do believe that bringing the kids to the Y, getting them out of their environment, is like an early opportunity for them to begin to overcome some of those barriers. Our staff know it's not an overnight process. We have the kids for weeks, 12 to 16 weeks. And, you know, I can see the kids when they first come, you know, they don't want to talk. They don't want to smile. You know, it's like, who are you? I don't trust you. You know, those are just natural. Mm-hmm. And within days to weeks, you see a calm begin to happen. They begin to build friendships and teams. And, you know, it's not all about fun, but we do have fun with them. They go to the museum. They go to sporting events, you know, to let them know they're our family and we want to take care of them. That's where the staff really do well at that. And then I'll let Chanel talk about some of the specific programs, but it's constantly building trust that I see with them and having those open opportunities to talk. I mean, I've seen kids come in, you know, they got the pants down, their language isn't the best you want to see and hear, but over time, they get it.
Mr. Bright stated something very important, meeting them where they are, understanding that they come from an environment where they're used to being dismissed because of maybe not being able to communicate their thoughts effectively or not trusting easily. So building trust is very important with me and my team, letting them know that we are here to support them and help them elevate to their next level, providing them with any resources that they may need help with, whether that's food, extra clothing because they're being picked on, helping them understand that we are family, like he mentioned. We're here to support them and give them a place to be where they don't have to be that tough kid, where they can let down that toughness and show us who they really are. And like he said, in the beginning, we see a lot of resistance. But however, within time, we learn to tear down those pieces and they see us for help and support that we are.
So Isaiah, I'd like you to jump in here and tell us a little bit about your experience there and how it made a difference for you.
I was real young when I came into the program. I was 15. And when I went there, I was like one of the youngest kids. So I didn't really like talk much. I didn't really have a sense of safety at first because, you know, I didn't know anybody. And when you don't, when you're not familiar with your surroundings, you're always, you tend to adjust and you have to get into it. But the program was, it was unusual because you don't see, like, growing up in Jersey City, you don't see people really being there for you. You don't see people trying to show you, trying to help you grow. And like, even in school, like, there aren't many teachers that you'll come across that'll really care for you, you know? And when I came to the YMCA and the ERC program, they just opened their arms, like, with everything. Like, literally anything you ever need, they'll be there, this program. And I was caught up in some things that I didn't have any clue what I was doing. And I come to the program, and some of the mentors have been through those things. And they can really teach you life lessons. And just listening to them, even if you're not listening, just hearing them and knowing that there's people that care about you impacts you. And like over time, it took me about, I went through the program twice. So it took me those two good times to really like understand that, you know, there's better things in life.
Do you have a favorite memory of the program or a moment where the light bulb went off and it was like, aha, I get it now? When did it click for you?
I was outside one day and out of nowhere, like it wasn't even like nothing that was done to me. But I was walking with one, like, with a couple of my boys, and we were just going to the store. Like, it was late. We had to go to like a 24-hour store that was open in the area, so we had a little ways to walk, and we all walked together. And you just see this guy just coming out the store, and then his car pulls up on him, and it's like grown men, and the kid's like my age. He's like 16, and they just start beating the crap out of him. And at that moment, I was like, all the stuff that I'm doing now is gonna lead me to that. And the first thing I did was after like the guys I was with, I'm not friends with them anymore, but the guys that I was with, you know, they're all watching and recording it. And the first thing I did was like, I saw it and then I just turned around and walked away. Because in that moment, when I turned around and walked away, that was me walking away from that life, from that future.
So what do you say to, or what would you say to maybe a young man or young woman out there that's listening to this that may be going down that wrong road, so to speak? What would you say to them about this program?
To avoid even having to come to this program, even though it helps a lot, like it helps you when you're stuck in those situations. But your key, the thing you want to do is not to have to come to a program like this. The thing you want to do is that now and this time, turn around before it becomes too late, before you have to go in front of a judge, before you have to get a record, before you have to go to probation, before you have to do anything like that. Because the only thing it does is affects your future. And most of the time, like Ms. Chanel said, the kids that are in this program, some of them can't change. And some of them try to change, and then they still get caught up for what they did before.
Michael and Chanel, how does it, well, Michael first, how does it make you feel to hear this from Isaiah and what a difference this made for him?
I know we do this, but to hear it, you know, is puts it in a more personal standpoint. It's real easy to get emotional, and it just continues to prove to me and hopefully all the listeners, especially the Y staff and volunteers, that the work we do is needed. And we got to continue pushing hard so that more Isaiahs can go through the program and go on that straight and narrow and do some great things. And what he's doing now is remarkable compared to what it could have been.
To hear it just reinforces that I know we are doing the right thing by having this program, that the team that we work with is doing the best we can. Like, it's amazing to see Isaiah and where he is today. And my hope is that we see so many more Isaiahs through this program, because we know, like he mentioned, it's a challenge. It's difficult growing up in an environment where violence, crime, and poverty is around you every day. It's a part of your everyday life. So It makes me feel good that to know that Isaiah has changed his life and that we've had an impact on making that happen.
Changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I fix myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill him, he's a hero. Get it back to the kids who the hell cares. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship him, don't let him deal with brothers. Give him guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brothers, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how I was supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then it changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is.